Welcome and Sabbath blessing, everyone. Forgive me, I was in the middle of sharing the hymns with our dear brother. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. Just give me a few seconds. This is our part two review of our chapter 74 entitled Gethsemane, part six on this beautiful and very cool Sabbath, August 13, 2022. Our Tiny Tots song is going to be shared by dear brother. It's entitled More About Jesus.
More about Jesus I would know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus on his throne, riches in glory all his own, more of his kingdom sure increase, more of his coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. If any one of the tiny thoughts, by the help of their parents or elder siblings, would like to open the review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Shabbat blessings, everyone. Thank you, God, for this morning. It's a beautiful morning, my daddy. Please protect the day of Sabbath. Please protect my mom. Please protect my daddy. Please protect the Sabbath day. Please protect everybody who I know. In Jesus' name. And please protect the Sabbath with the Sabbath of one. In Jesus' name, say amen. Is that everyone, mommy? Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, this is the section where we're going to hear the testimony of those little blessing, little helpers of mommy and daddies or any of the members of their family. I will turn the mic over to our dear family that would like to share.
For this week's mommies and daddies little blessings, it's a little tricky because we were in travel this time, but we will still like to highlight Haley and Emma. While we were home, they were very helpful and attentive and just always willing to help. And we can pray that the Lord continue to hone in on those little things that they are willing to do now, and make them bigger things as they grow according to his perfect will.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all of the dear brethren, we are going to review part two of the temptation in chapter 8, and our dear brother will be the one to share it with us. Dear Brother Dick?
Oh, I'm halfway through it and I haven't turned on my mic. Sorry. I'll start over. The Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, 5. Verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And in verses 6 to 9, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, here goes the devil quoting scripture, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. Jesus said and saith unto him, the devil said to Jesus, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Think of the audacity of the devil asking God to worship him. And Psalm 91, 11 to 12 says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, and they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And this is the other portion here. All right. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. Thus he showed, let me enlarge this a bit. Thus he showed that it is far less important to provide ourselves with food than that we should obey the word of God. Those who obey God's word have the promise of all things needed for the present life, and they have also the promise of eternal life. Even if you are poor, God will see to it that you have food. The Spirit of Prophecy says that few in Jerusalem were as poor as Jesus. Satan had failed to overcome Christ in the first great temptation on appetite. He next carried him to the pinnacle of the temple at Jerusalem and said, can you imagine the devil carrying Jesus up to the top of the temple and Jesus allowing him to do it? The devil said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Let me see what happened here. Satan here followed Christ's example in quoting scripture. Thought he could fool him, I guess. Into danger. You jump off a cliff. You can't expect the Lord to keep you from killing yourself. God had not told Jesus to throw him down from the temple. Jesus would not do it to please Satan. He said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That is either tempt God to the Father to protect Jesus or tempt Jesus to protect himself. We should trust in the care of our Heavenly Father. But we must not go where he does not send us. We must not do what he has not bidden or told us to do. Because God is merciful and ready to forgive, there are those who say that it is safe to disobey him But this is presumption or presumptuous. God will forgive all who seek pardon and turn away from sin, but those who choose to disobey him, he cannot bless. Satan now appeared what he really was, the prince of the power of darkness. I have to wonder if he changed his outward appearance to Jesus' eyes from that of an angel to whatever the devil looks like. We picture him as all black with horns and a tail. I don't know if that's true, but he changed his appearance. The prince of the power of darkness. He took Jesus to the top of a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. The sunlight lay on splendid cities, marble palaces, fruitful fields and vineyards. Satan said, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." The audacity. For a moment, Christ looked upon the scene. Then he turned away. Satan had presented the world to him in the most attractive light, but the Savior looked beneath the outward beauty. He saw the world in its wretchedness and sin apart from God. All this misery was the result of man's turning away from God to worship Satan. Christ was filled with longing to redeem that which was lost. He longed to restore the world to more than its Eden beauty. In other words, even more beautiful than Eden in the beginning. He wanted to place man on vantage ground with God. That is, give him help to overcome the devil. For sinful man, he was withstanding temptation. That big word withstanding means resisting, saying no when the devil tempts you. He was to be our overcomer, that they might overcome, that they might be equal with the angels and be worthy to acknowledged as or called the sons of God. Do you want to be called a son or daughter of God? I do. That's taken from The Story of Jesus by Ellen White, page 47.
All right. Amen. So next Sabbath, we will continue with part 3 of our lesson entitled The Temptation in our Tiny Tot lesson book, The Story About Jesus. And that will take place on the 28th of August, 2022. And now we are going to have our reading review from the same title, but chapter 12 from The Desire Ages. And our dear brother will be the one to share.
All right. From the chapter on the 12 in Desire of Ages called The Temptation. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee." And he left out something. "And in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Satan now supposes that he has met Jesus on his own ground. The wily foe himself presents words that proceeded from the mouth of God. He still appears as an angel of light, and he makes it evident that he is acquainted with the scriptures and understands the import of it, of what is written. As Jesus before used the words of God to sustain his faith, the tempter now uses it to countenance or support his deception. He claims that he has been only testing the fidelity of Jesus, and he now commends his steadfastness. As the Savior has manifested trust in God, Satan urges him to give still another evidence of his faith. But again, the temptation is prefaced or started with the insinuation, I should have seen that sooner. In other words, he makes it appear, insinuation of distrust. Yeah, he says if, so he's not trusting. If thou be the Son of God, Christ was tempted to answer the if, but he refrained from the slightest acceptance of the doubt. He would not imperil his life in order to give evidence to Satan or our salvation. The tempter thought to take advantage of Christ's humanity and urge him to presumption, to work outside the will of God. But while Satan can solicit, he cannot compel. He said to Jesus, "Cast thyself down," knowing that he could not cast him down, for God would interpose to deliver him. Nor could Satan force Jesus to cast himself down. Unless Christ should consent to temptation, he could not be overcome. Not all the power of earth or hell could force him in the slightest degree to depart from the will of his Father. That's from Desire of Ages 124 and 125. Did you change screens on me? Is this a continuation? Yes, I guess it is. The tempter can never compel us to do evil. He cannot control minds unless we are yielded to his control. We have to be willing. The will must consent. Faith must let go its hold on Christ before Satan can exercise his power upon us. But every sinful desire we cherish affords him a foothold. In other words, he has some advantage. Every point in which we fail to meet the divine standard is an open door by which he can enter to tempt and destroy us. And every failure or defeat on our part gives occasion for him to reproach Christ. He turns to Christ and says, "Aha! See there? He doesn't believe in you. He did this sin that I tempted him to do." When Satan quotes the promise, "He shall give his angels charge over thee," he omitted the words, he left out this part of the statement, "to keep thee in all thy ways." That is, in all the ways of God's choosing. Jesus refused to go outside the path of obedience. While manifesting perfect trust in his Father, he would not place himself unbidden in a position that would necessitate the interposition of his Father to save from death. That means if he had thrown himself off the temple, God would have had to have, interposed to save his life. In other words, step in and grab him so he wouldn't hit the ground. God wouldn't do that. Jesus wouldn't do it, so God didn't do it either. He would not force providence to come to his rescue and thus fail of giving man an example of trust and submission. Jesus declared to Satan, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." These words were spoken by Moses to the children of Israel when they thirsted in the desert and demanded that Moses should give them water, exclaiming, "If the Lord, is the Lord among us or not?" That was taken from Exodus 17:7. God had wrought marvelously for them, yet in trouble they doubted him and demanded evidence that he was with them. In their unbelief, they sought to put him to the test, and Satan was urging Christ to do the same thing. God had already testified that Jesus was his son, and now to ask for proof that he was his son, son of God, would be putting God's word to the test, tempting him. Desire of Ages 125. No? Okay, review questions. Remember, the first temptation was on appetite. What was the next temptation that Satan brought to Jesus? one gospel has it one way, the other gospel has it the other. This story says that Satan took Jesus up to the pinnacle that's standing on top of the roof of the temple and said, "Cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And he left out to keep thee in all thy ways, and said, and shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus, what verse did Satan quote Jesus? The one I just read from Psalm, or told you, quoted from Psalm 91, 11 and 12. What
did he say? The feet be all thy ways.
That's right. He left out to keep thee in all thy ways. Would Jesus deny himself?
Yes. Hmm. Yes.
Boy, I don't even understand that question, Rose. How'd you come up with that?
How the book came up with it. It says, deny himself? Of course he would.
Okay, in the first temptation, yeah, he denied self. They should have left out himself and just put self. But anyway, thank you for taking part in this. Back to you, Rose.
Praise the Lord. It's time for the Tiny Talk, the parents, and also all of the guests to be able to learn precious lessons in nature and the gems that lies beneath in God's creation. So let's have listening ear, dear ones, and our dear brother Josh will continue with the review on our water topic, part 16.
God bless us, everyone, and here is today's lesson concerning water with the second temptation. Research thy words. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto them, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. In their hand they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Matthew 4:5-6. But again, the temptation is faced with the insinuation of distrust, "If thou be the Son of God." Christ was tempted to answer the "if," but he refrained from the slightest acceptance of the doubt. He would not imperil his life in order to give evidence to Satan, the Desire of Ages, page 124. Satan tried to urge Christ over the line of trust to presumption. But Jesus would not put the faithfulness and love of his Father to a needless trial, although he was in the hands of the enemy, and placed in a position of extreme difficulty and peril. So, Second Selected Messages, page 282, and cites as, "Christ is the only one who can empower us to overcome the gravity of our sinful natures. Nothing upon earth is powerful enough to translate us from the kingdom of this world to the heavenly atmosphere." Now, what is evaporation? It is the phase change from a liquid to a gas. Molecules speed up, move farther apart, and absorb heat energy. And the next picture shows exactly how it happens. And here's some more of the evaporation. The heart that receives the word of God is not as a pool that evaporates, it is like a river constantly flowing, and as it advances, becoming deeper, wider, until its life-giving waters are spread all over the earth. Over all the earth. So it is with the true child of God. The liturgy of Christ reveals itself as a vitalizing, pervading principle, a living, working spiritual energy. When the heart is open to the heavenly influence of truth and love, these principles will flow forth again like streams in the desert, causing fruitfulness to appear where now are barrenness and dearth. On the note, conflict encourage page 224, paragraph 5. And then the top says solution of water and salt. And the second picture says solution is heated to boiling point for the liquid to evaporate as the water gets hotter. That's when steam comes in. And finally, salt particles of salt remains after liquid evaporates. But what remains means underneath the water or stays at the bottom while all the water has all dried up. Next is research. Jesus answered the tempter. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Matthew 4:7. Jesus again denies self and obeys God. Not even by a thought did Jesus sin. Christ knew that God could indeed bear him up if he had required him to throw himself from the temple, but to do this unbidden and to experiment upon his father's protecting care and love, because dared by seeing to do so would not show his strength of faith. First Selected Messages, pages 282-283. In Temptation to Presumption, in our hymn from part 1, number 4, reinforces until yield not to temptation. Here's the song. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, he'll carry through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, he will carry you through. Shun evil companions, bad language disdain. God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true. Look ever to Jesus, he'll carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, he will carry you through. To him that overcometh, God giveth a crown. Through faith we shall conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus, he'll carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, he will carry you through. Now I'll turn it back to Mark.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all the precious family that are just joining us. And remember, little ones, more about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness he, more of his love who died for me. Amen. Our opening hymn to review is taken from the hymn book, is number 495, entitled Near to the Heart of God. And if any one of the dear remnant would like to be able to continue with the second verse, may you unmute your mic to do so.
Here is a place of quiet rest, near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed, redeemed,
There is a place of comfort sweet near to the heart above, a place where we our Savior meets, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us await before thee, near to the heart of God. Thank you, Emma.
There is a place of full relief near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear family. If any one of the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to have prayer for our review of our family lesson, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
I will fill in for Haley. She's a little tired. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be a blessed name. Lord Jesus, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for this blessed Sabbath day. Thank you for the words that we're about to partake. May you please be with each and every one of us. May you continue to guide and lead us according to your perfect will. May you please give us the mind to be able to come and sit and sup with thee, to be helped elevated into higher places with thee, dear Father. May you please be with anyone that is among us that is sick or afflicted, dealing with any type of maladies, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, or even financially, dear Father. May you please restore them according to your perfect will. And I pray that you forgive us all, for all our sins and our iniquities, our shortcomings, anything that we have done in this body, known and unknown. Thank you for answered prayers. Thank you for spirit mercies. Thank you for many wonderful miracles that you have bestowed day by day upon our lives. Redeemer, I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. Our opening scripture to our review lesson is taken from the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16 from the King James Version.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
Amen. Welcome to all the precious family that are just joining us. So what have we learned in ways we have grown? Before we hear your question, your comment, or anything you would like to share with the Remnant family, we will be able to have a few minutes to reread our part one of our part six of the lesson entitled Gethsemane in our study book, The Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear Remnant family would like to read the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Desire of Ages, page 694. No traces of his recent agony were visible at Jesus as Jesus stepped forth to meet his betrayer. Standing in advance of his disciples, he said, "Whom seek ye?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I am he." As these words were spoken, the angel who had lately ministered to Jesus moved between him and the mob. And continuing on the next slide, please. And continuing. A divine light illuminated the Savior's face, and a dove-like form overshadowed him. In the presence of his divine glory, the murderous throng could not stand for a moment. They staggered back. Priests, elders, soldiers, and even Judas fell as dead men to the ground. The Desire of Ages, page 694, paragraph 5. Amen.
The angel withdrew, and the light faded away. Jesus had opportunity to escape, but he remained calm and self-possessed. As one glorified, he stood in the midst of the hardened band, now prostrate and helpless at his feet. The disciples looked on, silent with wonder and awe. Desire of Ages, page 694, paragraph 6.
Blessing everyone. Continuing to read it, Desire of Ages, page 695. But quickly the scene changed. The mob started up. The Roman soldier and priests and Judah gathered about Christ. They seemed ashamed of their weakness and fearful that he would yet escape. Again, the question was asked by the Redeemer. Whom ye seek? Whom seek ye? They had evidence that he who stood before them was the Son of God, but they would not be convinced. Next slide, please. Sorry. Continuing the reading. To the question, whom ye seek again? They answered, Jesus of Nazareth. The Savior then said, I have told you that I am he. If dare ye seek me, let these go their way, and pointed to the disciple. He knew how weak was their faith, and he sought to shield them from the temptation and trial. But then he was ready to sacrifice himself. Desire of Ages, 695, paragraph 1.
Blessed Sabbath, everyone. Desire of Ages, 695. Judas the betrayer did not forget the part he was to act. When the mob entered the garden, he had led the way closely followed by the high priest. To the pursuers of Jesus, he had given a sign saying, whomever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. Matthew 26:48.
The Desire of Ages, page 695, continuing, now he pretends to have no part with them. Coming close to Jesus, he takes his hand as a familiar friend. With the words, Hail, Master, he kisses him repeatedly and appears to weep as if in sympathy with him in his prayer. Desire of Ages, page 695, paragraph 2.
Jesus said to him, Friend, Wherefore art thou come? His voice trembled with sorrow as he added, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? This appeal should have aroused his conscience of the betrayer and touched his stubborn heart, but honor, fidelity, and human tenderness had forsaken him. He stood bold and defiant, showing no disposition to relent. He had given himself up to Satan, and he had no power to resist him. Jesus did not refuse the traitor's kiss. Desire of Ages, page 696, paragraph 1.
The mob grew bold as they saw Judas touch the person of him who had so recently been glorified before their eyes. They now laid hold of Jesus and proceeded to bind those precious hands that had ever been employed in doing good.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Remnant family. And that last paragraph was page 696, paragraph 2. So let us consider this verse for our review section, taken from 1 Peter 3:15, King James. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man, that as you are risen of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So what have we learned in ways we have grown? We have retained the sixth question for our review section, and I will read it out for those that are not able to see the screen and also for the sake of the recording. Number one, who is the main character or characters? Number two, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And the last one, number six, what did you learn from this lesson? If you have the ability to type it in the room, you could do so, or you can open the mic to share your answer. So who would like to take the first one?
The answer to number one is the question, who is the main character or characters? Here we saw Jesus. We saw the disciples. We saw Judas. We saw the mob. And we even saw that angel that interposed on behalf when the mob came up to Christ.
The answer to question two, what is the main idea for the section of the story, is Judas' betrayal and Jesus getting arrested?
I believe for number three, they're still in the Garden of Gethsemane.
The answer to question four, when the story begins, is Jesus stepping forth to meet his betrayer with no trace of the recent agony.
Number five, relating to the story, is looking upon Jesus and how he dealt with adversity and trials, and how he begged for help and took everything to his Father and pleaded for strength and was ready be ready for when we are faced with adversity.
I would like to add to number 5. What I have noticed is, besides giving himself and denying himself, he left a lesson also for us to learn during the time of trial. He held on to the fulfillment of the promises and also the fulfillment of his mission. And that is a very good tool, especially for Christian. If we know that the Lord had left in the scripture that we was going to be prosecuted, we were going to be treated no different from he and how he was treated, but what he has left us, it was necessary for us to go through to be able to develop character and also to be acquainted also with the burden of to carry the word of God. I was looking towards this particular one that even though he knew that Judas was going to betray him, and even though Judas was going to betray him with a kiss, he did not fight him or refused it, because there was also a fulfillment that needed to be done. And this is something that I will take with me wherever I will go. Because whenever you are in different circumstances, especially when you're doing missionary work, you're always going to have the enemy trying to be able to counteract what the Lord has done. And if I can continue to remember what the Savior had done and how he met the foe, it will be an easy way to be able to submit to God's care. I just wanted to share that. And who would like to take number 6 by God's grace?
For number 6, what I'm learning is that how the Lord is teaching us how to face, and the word is adversity. Sorry, I said that the wrong way before. How to face adversity and trials. And when we come in to face it, we should face it, but not in our strength, but in the strength that God would provide for us. And we should seek that help, and we should go onward and forward.
What I have learned about this lesson also is that I never knew that Judah had kissed him more than once. He has said that Judah had kissed him repeatedly.
So true.
And That is so, like, mind-blowing. But also, I also learned that when the Lord was telling Judah that, you know, when he, even though he knew and Judah had gotten so, like, so resilient and pumped up, but you could know sometimes when you're talking to someone and they know that they do you wrong, that is the spirit that they get. Like, I know they know that they're wrong, but you could know that it's beyond now. The devil had taken over because of the way that they act during that process. I hope I make myself understood, but it was a very good lesson. Thank you, Savior.
Amen. There's a scripture that help us to be able to understand when it says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Well, dear ones, we had the opportunity to be able to answer number six.
If I could, I have a question or a thought.
Sure, sister.
On one of the slides, I believe it's slide 26 or 27, it shows the angel appeared between Christ and the mob. And I was thinking, sorry that I didn't submit this question before, what was the purpose of him appearing, the angel appearing? And a few things came to mind, but I just wanted to share and ask the question as to if there's another reason. One, it showed to me that the priests, the elders, the soldiers, and even Judas had no power. They had no power or anything to do anything unless it was permitted for them to be able to do it. And two, I wondered if it was a test of Christ in the flesh to see if he would run away from what had to be done. And we saw that he overcame, but it was still stuck in my mind as to why the angels appeared. The angel appeared and disappeared. So I don't know if that's something that we could touch base upon quickly.
Well, I will share based on what we have read. This angel was already ministering to Christ. If you remember that he was the one that had helped Jesus to be able to take the cup. It's after all of the trials that he had to do during the Gethsemane experience. It says that when he had got up to meet the mob, remember that the composure that he had is the renewing of the spirit that the Lord had given by sending this angel to remind him that what he was about to do was not in vain. Remember, so when the angels were there to be able to, I won't say counteract, but also you even see how much the Lord want to save, even the one that had gone so far. By they seeing the angel that came between them at that moment, it could have given them a moment to think twice about what they're about to do. But when they yielded their member to become servant to obey under the enemy of soul does not repent. And he does not turn away from what he's about to do. So by yielding their will, they became powerless. And the Lord still was having mercy for them, that they can be able to know who they was going to be able to betray. So I just want to share that. And maybe any one of the brethren would like to be able to share. May you unmute your mic, Evans?
Amen. What stands out to me here is when Christ says, I am he, and mentions that divinity flashed through humanity and the crowd fell back as dead men. We understand a little more clearly here that it wasn't Christ allowing his divinity to shine through. It wasn't Christ illuminating his own face. But a divine light illuminated Christ's face. And a dove-like form overshadowed Christ. So it wasn't Christ in his humanity allowing his own Godhead to shine forth. It was the Father allowing, whether it was through Gabriel or whether it was the Holy Spirit, again, it's a dove-like form. But at any rate, it was the Father allowing the divinity of Christ to manifest itself. So it wasn't Christ himself doing it, because that would have destroyed the plan of salvation, because Christ now is no longer just human. He is allowing divinity to shine forth. So Christ maintained his humanity. He maintained the plan of salvation, being a perfect example for you and me. But the Father, to impress upon others that Jesus was indeed his son, a God in and of himself, the Father allowed that scene to take place. So they recognized that Christ was more than human, and yet Christ only manifested humanity. So he relied upon his Father for everything. And that example is for you and me as well.
Amen. That is so beautiful. There's no words. Because in reality, even though that he could have used it, but he didn't. Because it just said that he was not going to use his divinity to be able to show us. And that's the same thing with us. Imagine what it is when you stand for principle. You don't even know what manifestation the Lord is going to do and in what way the Savior would allow those that are looking towards what is really happening, what the Lord did to be able to vindicate. It's just amazing. Thank you so much, dear Elder Rob, to be able to share that. And here in the pictures, you could be able to see that right after when that happened, then he asked again. And if you notice, the light was no longer there. It was really mercy that the Lord was trying to, he really don't want anyone to be able to be lost. What a Savior. Is there any other questions or comments before we continue? Dear Brother Dick, he said it was a last chance for the people to recognize who he was. Amen. So that he had no excuse. So let us share our thoughts for our review. This one is taken from Ministry of Healing, chapter 38. Entitled The Importance of Seeking True Knowledge. And this is entitled also The Need of Self-Renunciation. If any one of the dear brethren would like to take one of the paragraph, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
A man's great danger is in being self-deceived, indulging self-sufficiency, and thus separated from God, the source of his strength. Our natural tendencies, unless corrected by the Holy Spirit of God, have in them the seeds of moral death. Also become vitally connected with God, we cannot resist the unhallowed effects of self-indulgence, self-love, and temptation to sin. Ministry Healing, page 455, paragraph 3.
In order to receive help from Christ, we must realize our need. We must have a true knowledge of ourselves. It is only he who knows himself to be a sinner that Christ can save. Only as we see our utter helplessness and renounce all self-trust shall we lay hold on divine power. Ministry of Healing, page 455, paragraph 4.
It is not only at the beginning of this Christian life that this renunciation of self is to be made. At every advanced step heavenward, it is to be renewed. All our good works are dependent on a power outside of ourselves. Therefore, there needs to be a continual reaching out of the heart after God, a constant, earnest confession of sin, and humbling of the soul before him. Perils surround us, and we are safe only as we feel our weakness and cling with the grasp of faith to Almighty Deliverer. Mystery Dreaming 455.5.
Amen. And our poem is entitled, Do You Wish to Go to Heaven? This one is taken from the Children Bible Activity Book, Year 2, Quarter 3, Lesson 9, from page 250 of the Sunlight Education Ministry Homeschooling from the Bible. If any one of the brethren would like to take one of the verses, may please unmute your mic to do so, dear one.
Oh, bless
you. Do you wish to go to heaven? Jesus is the only way. God, his Son, to you hath given. Seek him, children, while you may.
Jesus has a listening ear.
Listening ear.
Ears.
And a very.
And very.
Tender.
Tender.
Heart.
Heart.
Little. Children.
Children.
Need.
Not.
Fear. Stop. Who.
And.
Jesus.
Yes.
Have.
A part.
Come, Jeremiah, since you need to be so busy. Come, settle yourself and read. Jesus
has
a happy
home.
Tis
beyond
the twinkling
star.
Jesus
beckons
to that happy home afar. Good. Do you wish to see his face in tea gold paved streets above? Then you ask him for his grace that will cleanse your life with love.
Jesus will not be angry, he banned you here from on high. Jesus will not frown on thee, bend your little knee and try.
Do you wish to go to heaven? Jesus is the only way. God, no other son hath given. Seek him, children, while you may.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If there's any testimony, we will hold it until the end of all our services. Next week, dear ones, we will continue with part 7 of this beautiful lesson in Gethsemane in our study book, Desire Ages. If any one of the remnant brethren, mommy, daddies, or our guests, children, would like to close with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Father, we thank you for this blessed Sabbath day. Thank you, Lord, for all the lessons. Thank you for showing us how we can depend on you and show us how we can face the enemy and that adversary and adversity. Father Jesus, be with all the little children. Continue to bless them this day. Continue to thank you for their participation. Be with their parents as well. As we go on to the next service, we ask you for your blessing. Continue to teach us the lessons, Father, for the day. Be with the speaker. Bless and keep him. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we'll be continuing the chapter 74 entitled Gethsemane, but this will be a part 7. and that will be held August 20, 2022, and that will be lesson 363. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. God bless. Leaving this scripture and also the quote. The scripture is taken from Luke 15, verse 7, King James Version. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Quotation is taken from the Acts of the Apostle, page 152 and 153. It is the work of the angels to come close to the tribe, just like we saw our dear Savior in Gethsemane. The suffering, the tempted, they labor entirely in behalf of those for whom Christ died. When sinners are led to give themselves to the Savior, angels bear their tidings heavenward, and there is great rejoicing among the heavenly hosts. God bless each and every one. Sabbath bless.